Support for WPR comes from WIPS with Toward One Wisconsin, a conference on equity, diversity, and inclusion, May 7th and 8th in Eau Claire. Registration information and more is at t1w.org.
Support for WPR comes from the American Society of Landscape Architects Wisconsin chapter. Dedicated to reimagining the design of outdoor spaces for the well-being of all. Examples at wiasla.com.
Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today. Before we get started with the program, I really did want to say a big thanks to everybody who contributed during our fall membership drive. We had over 6,300 listeners pledge. We had 1,600 sustaining pledges and 1,300 new members, which is great. And combined, you all donated over $811,000 to fund the Wisconsin Public Radio programs you depend on. So thank you. Thank you very much. And we're back with our sort of regularly scheduled programming, I guess you could say. And I'm really looking forward to today's show because we're going to talk about family history and the search for our family's history. It can be a lot of fun or can sometimes almost border on obsession with people. So it's not surprising that genealogy is often ranked as the number one hobby in the U.S. And again, thank you for joining us on the Ideas Net. I'm Larry Mueller. My guest, Lori Bessler, is a reference librarian in the Library Archives Division of the Wisconsin Historical Society. She teaches genealogy workshops to help you and I piece together our family histories. And Lori, thanks for coming back. Appreciate it.
Not a problem. I love being here.
We PBS has a brand new series. It's called Genealogy Roadshow. Have you seen any of it? What's the approach to that?
I have seen it. It has its own unique kind of way of approaching this topic. It does make it almost look like it's easier than it really is.
Yeah.
So librarians are kind of shaking a little bit on it. But I think that any time that you're telling people how to tell the story and you're expressing stories that move so many people and people can relate to is a good thing.
Yep. And both Wisconsin Public Television and Milwaukee Public Television are carrying it. So you should check your local listings for times and dates if you're interested in taking a look at it. October is Family History Month. What are some of the motivations that people have to research their family histories?
You know, I think there's a lot of reasons why people look into it. A lot of times it's to find out if a family story is correct or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some of them can get pretty wild. Sometimes it's the idea that you love to put together a puzzle. And so you're putting all these different documents together and a story pops out. Other times, you know, sometimes it's that a broken family has happened. And so you want to find out something that you couldn't find out through the family oral history because of the breaking of that family. So there's a lot of reasons.
And let's talk about some of the basic resources or the most basic ones that people can use to piece together family history. Let's start with public records, maybe.
Okay. Yeah. Public records. You know, we start our paper trail right after we're born. And so you have a birth record. You have maybe a baptismal record. It goes to marriages and deaths. There's such a big paper trail that everybody leaves behind. School records. Just about everything gets recorded. Public records created by the government usually fairly accessible. And so we at the Historical Society can help you identify where those things are located. The one thing about public records, though, is that like birth, marriage, and death records, it's hard to get a digital copy. So when people come in and say, hey, I looked on Ancestry and I can't find this, it must not exist.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that will not show up online for privacy purposes. But it doesn't mean you don't have access. And so that's where our staff can help you identify where is the access. Ancestry is certainly one of two of the biggest sites to go to. Family Search is the other one. So Latter-day Saints have put together a wonderful resource on their website.
So and those are free? Are they?
You know, Family Search is free. It's familysearch.org is the website. Ancestry is actually not free. They do have portions of the private subscription they've made available for free at libraries called the Library Edition. So one of the core records that you're going to start with are censuses. 1790 to the present, every 10 years, the government says who's living here. And so those census years are perfect little snapshots of where our family is at various times and who is composing our family. So that kind of stuff Ancestry makes available on the library edition. So contact your local library. See if they subscribe for you.
How accurate do you feel? You know, it's supposed to be everybody, and obviously we're not going to get every single person, but
right,
pretty
but
good job.
It's a pretty good job. It's, you know, it has its flaws, that's for sure. Certainly, spellings of names can be kind of cumbersome. Sometimes when we've helped people break down those brick walls, I can't find them in 1870. They live in this small area. You know, you can do searches outside of just putting in a name. And so having different strategies, certainly we've been able to help people find things in censuses they couldn't find otherwise.
Yeah. And boy, the internet's really been a boon, hasn't it, for
GEO? It has. It's amazing what's available out there. Another great website is findagrave.com, where you have volunteers going around. They love to do this, too. They'll go to cemeteries. They'll document who is buried in the cemetery. And then also they'll add things like obituaries and digital images of records and everything to the entry in Find a Grave. It's a great website.
Talking today with Lori Bessler, reference librarian in the Wisconsin Historical Society. Talking with her, she teaches genealogy workshops, and we're visiting with her today about researching your family history. You may have a question. Do you feel like you know as much of your family history as you'd like, or do you wish you could learn some more? Do you have some older relatives you can ask things of, or do you rely on documents and photos and public records? I hope you'll join us with your comments and questions and experiences. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mehler Show. And we would love to hear from you. And I see we're getting calls right now as I speak. The personal and family materials, what are some sources for details to fill in, when you think about, okay, what might we have in our own family?
Oh, that's usually what you start with is what is at home in the boxes in the attic or the basement or the closets. And a lot of times what you run into are materials that you can't find anyplace else, things like diaries or letters or journals. Photograph collections are phenomenal. And so making sure that one of the things our staff can do is help you identify if there's no names on the back of a photo. We can help you identify what era it comes from, maybe even the location. We have people who specialize in this. And so having those materials at home first. Also, one thing is when you do start to gather the information, it's really important to sort it out right away, to organize that information. So what you have is on Ancestry.com, and this is free, you don't have to be in the library to have access to it, are forms that you can actually print out. And that pedigree chart that shows more than one family member, more than one generation, that really helps when you come to the library then. We can help you by understanding more of what you already know.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it helps a lot.
1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions or comments. Are there certain points in a family history that tend to produce dead ends? And are there good ways to work around them?
You know, dead ends are kind of, they hit everybody. Everybody hits those. And yes, the best way to answer that is for you know, people, if they have a dead end, to come to the Historical Society or to contact us. Even we have a lot of people who contact us through email at asklibrary@wisconsinhistory.org or to call us and we can talk them through. A lot of times when I have helped people with those dead ends, it's because they've only looked at the online materials.
Oh.
And so I have a whole list full of other types of records they can try and find in order to break down that dead brick wall.
And just a comment on, there are probably some online materials or maybe for-profit companies that might not be the best.
Yeah, there definitely are a lot of companies that whenever you have any kind of study, any type of study that people get into, there are going to be groups of companies that will try and make money off of that. I usually tell people, I try and direct them to sites and to institutions where you're going to have the most bang for your buck. Knowing that you have to watch out for any of these kinds of companies. That should be a part of your regular routine for anything in your life, as well as with genealogy.
Pete in La Crosse. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry and Laurie. Laurie, I'm a descendant from the large exodus of families from Harbor Grace, Newfoundland, 1850, 1851, to Washington County, Wisconsin. Apparently, a large number of families moved to the same Washington County, Wisconsin. How do I find information on their arrival? Where do I look for that?
The 1850, so you've done census work already?
Actually, I found it in a book that was published in Newfoundland about the exodus on their end, and all it mentions is the being able to obtain farms in Washington County, Wisconsin.
Okay, well, so I guess I wonder, how far is your question? Do you want to know everybody who is in this exodus, or do you have specific family members and you want to see if they connect?
It's more of the latter, yeah, to learn more about life in Newfoundland and family history there from those who are here now.
Okay. So, yeah, I would assume there may be some materials in our collection as well. Our collection is North American in scope. So we have United States and Canadian resources, local histories, family histories, newspapers, a lot of different resources that could help you identify more information about that exodus. So one way to start, because you're in La Crosse, you can't just drive over here real quick, is to go to our online catalog and put in keywords like Newfoundland and Wisconsin and Washington County and look for some general history books that we may have. Also, you can email us at asklibrary@wisconsinhistory.org, and I can do some of that searching for you.
Super.
All right. Thanks, Pete. Thank you. Appreciate the call. Steve in Wausau, your turn. Hi, Steve.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
A couple of years ago, we had a 50th class reunion, and we were missing a couple of classmates. And what we did is went to the school records, and we got the old records and found out the parents' name, and then we looked up the obituaries of the parents, and it said survived by, and sometimes it comes out your classmate, and then it gives an area that they're in, and that's how we kind of track them down.
Oh,
that's wonderful. I've heard that strategy as well. Yeah, when people are trying to track down people they haven't seen in 30 or 40 years, it can be especially difficult if they're female classmates, because you don't know who they married or whatever happened to them. And then if families moved away, that's even more difficult.
And sometimes a city directory will really help, because you'll get their parents' name that way, too.
That's right. That's right. It has helped a lot. That's great.
Yeah, great show.
Thank you very much for calling. I'm just as a kind of a funny aside, I had a friend who I went to high school with, and he was had a family. He was on a farm with his family, and the parents moved on and or died, and he took over the family farm. So when a high school reunion came along, he was listed as one of the people they couldn't locate, and he was at the exact same address that he had been at his entire life. He had never moved.
He was too easy to find. They were trying so harder. So much harder.
Just assumed he wasn't going to be there at that same place.
That's pretty good.
Caller Keith visited the National Archives in Washington, D.C. in the 1980s to do genealogical research. He wonders if it's of all that information from the National Archives is all electronic now.
No. There's still a lot in any archives. It takes a long time for these things to pop online. There is a really great website, though, to consider if you're looking especially at military records at the National Archives, and that's called fold3.com. What they do is they are going through the military records available at National Archives specifically and digitizing them. And it's a very, very nice site, especially if you want to pay homage to your veteran. It's a very interactive site. There's portions that are free. We subscribe to it at Historical, where you can come in and use it right there on site.
Oh, so, and it's Fold 3?
Fold 3, like the fold of the flag.
That's what
they call it, .com.
Okay, well, we'll post it up on our Facebook page just to have it there in case you didn't get that. I hope you, and 3, by the way, is the number. It's not spelled out.
That's correct.
Lori Bessler, our guest today, talking with her about researching your family history. What about you? Are you doing some research? Have you had some interesting findings? Do you have some questions? Are you at sort of an impasse or getting to an impasse and want to know some more? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking about your family history and researching your family history with Lori Bessler from the Wisconsin Historical Society. Larry Mueller here. Thanks so much for listening in. We have some open lines. A couple of lines get you on pretty quickly at 1-800-642-1234. Email at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. Let's go to Vince in Waukesha next. Vince, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm in the midst of a genealogical project right now, and my question involves adoption records. Having some trouble tracing down a relative who was adopted several generations ago, and I know that there's privacy laws that are attached to adoption records, but this was, you know, before 1920. I'm wondering if you guys have any advice on that.
I think it's definitely something that you would still start at the courthouse and see if maybe the birth record was made available. If it wasn't, then they should be able to tell you what other avenue you have legally to have access to that. I'm assuming this is someone who's directly related to you?
He is, yeah, my grandfather.
Okay, so in that case, it's also looking at other records, parts of the paper trail that were created at the time of this child's birth. Do you have a sense that they were adopted at birth or later on?
It was either at birth or within the first year. I have a picture of him at a year old from his adoptive parents, and we know that he was adopted. But all the records that I found on Ancestry, things like that, all talk about his adoptive parents as being his biological parents, which we know in the family is not true.
So in that case, that story kind of leans to the idea that maybe it was an informal adoption, an agreement between two families. I guess was he from a small town?
It was from in Rock County. Yeah, it was a fairly small town.
So knowing more about that community and the families that lived in that community at the time of the birth would be something to look into. You know, with adoption records, if the record itself is closed off, you really have to be pretty creative. And I would love to discuss more details of other types of records that you could look for. So I suggest you contact me at the Ask Library at wisconsinhistory.org, and we can, or to give us a call at the library, it's 608-264-6535.
Okay, thank you, Larry. I will send you an email this afternoon.
All right. Sounds good, Vince. Thanks for calling. Yeah, and that'll give you an opportunity to go to more in-depth than we can really go into on the show.
It's true. A lot of the questions that come in, a lot more in-depth research has to be done or discussion.
Let's turn to Pat in Genoa City next. Hi, Pat. Thank you for calling.
Oh, hi. I'm so glad you've taken my call. Thank you. I'm in possession of an old Bible. The original date in here is 1772. It's about half a foot thick, and it has recordings of births and maybe deaths. Unfortunately, it's not in English, mm-hmm. Neither the writing in it or the printed word. It's all in some Scandinavian, I think. I see a name, Annika Gofstadter, Anno 1772, that's on the front page. If I turn a page, it says Olaf Svensson, I think, 1792. I mean, there's handwritten notations in here. I would love to return this Bible to its family, and I don't know how to begin.
Okay.
To look for them.
Are there actual locations written in this as well?
Well, it's not in English.
Okay, so you can't tell.
But here we have a list of names and dates, you know, 17... I don't know what that is, something, 1787, 1790, 1792, 95, 97. And then there's writing in there and obviously people's names, but I don't know. I think it may be recording marriages, births, deaths.
Okay. Well, a couple of things. One is that in Madison, there's a wonderful institution called the Norwegian American Genealogical Center and NASETH Library. And they specialize in Norwegian American. And so their staff might be able to help you a lot with the interpretation or translation of that language. Also, they know so much about the Midwest families
yeah.
that have settled here. So they may have record of those families that are written in here. One other idea is to be able to scan make digital, those pages that have some of that core information. If you can email that to me, then I can get you in touch with that staff at Norwegian American.
Yeah. Oh, I would be so grateful. And yes, I can do that. Could you repeat your location again?
It's asklibrary@wisconsinhistory.org. We help a lot of people. So other listeners who may have something that may belong to another family, we help a lot of people find these other families.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
And
thank you so much.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling. And even if you have a smartphone, you can take photos, I would guess, of those pages and then just email the photos.
I guess so. I'm kind of in one foot is in the old school and one foot is in the new, so I don't have a smartphone. But yes, I assume you can do the same
thing.
But
you could just they could email
the image.
Yeah, the images.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Sure. Yeah, be a way to do it. Mary in Milwaukee. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, I'm a volunteer at the Irish Immigration Library in Milwaukee, where we help people trace their Irish ancestry.
Yeah.
And a few weeks ago, I got a phone call from a woman in Tipperary, Ireland, and she's looking for descendants of her great uncle who moved to Maquonago in the 19th century. And I'm having a hard time finding these descendants, and I wonder if there's any tips you can give me or how I would find them.
It's so funny. When I started doing this 40 years ago, 30 years ago, seems like a long time ago, it was always the families coming this way. Now we have a lot of the old country families contacting us saying, one of our people came over. Whatever happened to them? A lot more people are doing this. So it's entirely possible that we can help you with this case. So, like I said, it would take a lot of give and take on the information that you do have and what the person in Ireland has as well. So you can do one of two things. You can be the in-between person, or you can direct that person to us, and we can help them. Being that we have a lot more scope in our collection for North American research, wherever they ended up going, we might have a good luck finding them when they're here in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that they ended up in Maquonago.
All the more so we can, you know, if you know that you have resources in Maquonago to contact, wonderful. I would actually direct you closer to there then to work with their local historical society, to work with the people who specialize in that area.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for calling. Appreciate your call. We have Judy in Milwaukee next. Judy, hi.
Hi. I've been trying to find my grandfather's grave, and I think, well, he was in Michigan and Schoolcraft County, and I believe there's only one graveyard there, but I believe he's in an unmarked grave. Do I write or do I look for a graveyard around that area?
Is it? Do you have a sense that it's a church graveyard or a civil graveyard?
I don't know, and all my relatives are gone.
Okay. I would definitely contact the local historical society or genealogical society. Sometimes they're one and sometimes they're two different organizations. So if you can Google Schoolcraft County, Michigan Historical Society, then it should put you in touch with them. If you can't find a historical society, I always tell people you need to contact public librarians. Most towns have a public library, and that public librarian knows their community so well. So contacting in the county seat, the main city in that county, contact the public library.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. We have an email from Peg who says, I have an uncle who was a postmaster in Wisconsin and removed from the post due to embezzlement. Family lore has him being investigated by the FBI, which if he was a postmaster, that would certainly be the case, I would think, if there was some embezzlement going on. Where would I find those records? You know, the investigation records, I suppose.
Yeah. You know, if it is, it should be a federal level resource.
Yeah.
If there was any Wisconsin state involvement with that, then it would be contacting us for the state archives. That's, you know, the library and archives. Otherwise, with the federal, I would contact the National Archives in Chicago and ask them.
Yeah, because he was probably, if he was going to be prosecuted, it'd been a federal. I would think anyway.
Yeah.
George in Madison, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hello. I'd like to make a comment about the Wisconsin Historical Society Library. I have been using the library since about the year 2000 when I retired, and I can tell you it has an incredible collection. The area I research is French-Canadian and Acadian, and that library right here in Wisconsin has all manner of material on Canada. In addition, the staff is very, very willing to take on the most difficult of questions. So I'd like to make the comment that for us who live here in Wisconsin, it is truly a national resource that we can all of us enjoy. Oh. Thank you much.
Thank you very much. We appreciate the comment.
George, I really appreciate it. And really, the Wisconsin Historical Society does have a national or international
it does.
Reputation.
It really does, for a variety of reasons beyond just genealogy, of course. We're North American in scope. Not a lot of libraries can say that.
No.
And we have been since the 1850s. And so we're an old institution, too. So having that much accessible to us and then the knowledge of the staff, not to toot our own horn, but yes, our mm-hmm. staff has been with the collection for such a long time that it's gained that knowledge over years. So thank you very much.
George, you are spot on. Thank you for calling. Connie in Portage, let's turn to you next. Hi, Connie.
Hi, how are you?
Great, thanks for calling.
Yeah, I have a cousin that I haven't seen in probably 50 years that I have some articles of her father's, my mother's brother, and that from World War II and pictures and things, and I don't know how to get a hold. I've tried to find her, and I can't. And I wondered how I should go about finding her.
Okay, well, does she have brothers?
No.
Okay.
She has one sister.
Okay, do you know where the sister is?
No.
Okay.
They moved to Florida and then lost touch with the family.
Okay. I believe there are resources to use, that's for sure. It just is a matter of going back and forth with the questions with you to help you work this case. And so it's hard to do over the radio, so it's best if you can email us at the Ask Library at Wisconsin History.
I don't have a computer, but I do have a telephone.
Then the phone number to use is 608-264-6535. That's our reference desk. And actually, if you do call, you can ask to talk to me directly, and then we can discuss more strategies.
Good. Very good. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. What kinds of things would you normally ask a person like that?
I would probably look at the paper trail early in this person's life, in her cousin's life, and see if we see any patterns. See other people who are connected to her that may still be in the area that we could ask. We would possibly look at marriage indexes that may be online for Florida, mm-hmm. depending on the time period. Also, it's possible she may have been married more than once, so that's kind of difficult to do. So it's asking her, the caller, more detailed questions about what exactly do you know about this cousin.
And open lines for you at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. Chad in Green Bay, your turn. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry Mueller. Nice to be on your show. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to make a comment that my family on my father's side is all Swedish, 100% Swedish, and until he met my mother. And my father didn't do a very good job, unfortunately, of telling us about his family. And I know everything almost about my mother's side. Anyway, my great-grandfather, Oscar Valentine, which is a very awesome name, by the way.
Mm-hmm. It is.
He came over in 1885 with his wife. They got married. They had some kids. And so my uncles, they were in the military. And I just wanted to say I appreciate the website about the military families. I would definitely love to look that up and see what he did, where he was, what happened to him, and things like that. But when he came over, they came from Sweden. I don't know where from, but they moved to Escanaba, Michigan. And my oldest brother and I were able to go into the vault of the courthouse and see his signature because he became the clerk of court, and he signed people into the United States, and we saw his signature signing these people that came from all these countries into the United States, and I just thought that was so exciting, and I had to share.
Awesome. Oh. That is really great. That's really cool.
Oh, that's Oh, that's one of the cool things.
It is.
This unexpected find.
It is. And we see that every day we get to hear these wonderful stories. I've got a great job.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Chad.
You know, let me add one thing about the military records. I mentioned about Fold 3. With any type of record, it should always be understood that there's only a portion that shows up online and that you still need to use institutions. Now, one institution in Wisconsin is the Wisconsin Veterans Museum, and the other one is our library archives. And so we are holding one of our many workshops that we're going to be holding. We're holding one on November 2nd on military records, and there will be a librarian or an archivist from the Veterans Museum and one of our archivists teaching this class.
Wow.
And so it's an awesome opportunity. So we have information about all of our classes. Also, something else we now offer are webinars. And if one thing that we hear out there is that, well, you hold it at a certain time, we record these webinars too. So access is everything for us. So making things available. All of those classes are listed on our website.
Very, very cool. And, of course, we have a link on my Facebook page to your website. So
thank you.
There you go. Facebook question from Carol, who says, many of my ancestors came from England. What's the best way to research them pre-1800, short of going to England?
Oh, you know what? There is a great website. And I have to say, I don't know. I know that it's a valid website, but I have not done that very much with my own research. FindMyPast.com is a great website, and it does have English records. How many on there, I don't know. I believe what you're going to be dealing with a lot of them will be parish records, maybe some civil records for that time period too. I would encourage you to actually read up a little bit online. Do a Google search for English, Great Britain genealogy, and see if there's some instructional sheets in there. FamilySearch.org has got a great wiki. They have a lot of articles on how to do this research, and their scope is international, and so they do deal with that angle as well. You're welcome to contact us as well, and we can help you guide you towards some of these other institutions.
Sue in Waukesha, let's turn to you now. Hi, Sue. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for having this program.
Sure.
My dad died in World War II, and I'm trying to trace his family. And the biggest problem I have, I guess, is, first of all, if they died and their body was not recovered, although crashed in the United States, is there a grave site here for them? Secondly of all, his surname was Moore, which is extremely common. How do I go about trying to trace that down?
Okay, a couple of ideas. One is the Wisconsin Veterans Museum is definitely one of the resources you need to contact. Russ Horton at that institution is going to be able to help you answer some of those questions, especially with the burial. There are most likely newspaper clippings around the time that he was believed to be lost. And so we have a tremendous newspaper collection, second only to the Library of Congress, at the Historical Society. And most of that's on film. So you don't have to come to Madison. You can get the film through interlibrary loan. There are military records that you can try and locate. Again, Russ will be able to help you more with that kind of research. Our archives division, our staff up there might be able to help you with that as well.
There you go.
Okay, that would be great. I got some information through the Freedom of Information Act, but they blanked out all of his mother's name.
Oh. Bless their hearts.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
Thanks. Oh, yeah, that's got to be frustrating.
Yeah, but the newspaper clipping around the time that he was found to be lost is most likely going to mention his family.
Almost for sure.
Yeah.
Roxanne and Peshtigo emailed us. I have no idea how to find my great-great-grandfather's parents. He was born in New York, but his father was born in England, and the story is that my great-great-grandfather stowed away aboard a ship when he was a young boy, and when he was discovered, the captain of the ship just took him as his own and raised him. I assumed his parents had died. He then went on to become a captain of his own ship, eventually was sailing the Great Lakes. The census information that I have seen shows his father born in England, but how do I find more information?
Oh, that is quite a question. Yeah. With New York especially, New York has its issues on access and the paper trail. So I would guess, did you know where in New York? Or we're not answering her back, are we?
No.
She's on the thing. I would want to know where in New York. I would want to know more about what part of that great-great-grandfather's paper trail she's uncovered and what she has found. So definitely when you have detailed questions like that, it's really important to start the conversation through asklibrary@wisconsinhistory.org or calling us. We can talk you through it.
Mary in Eau Claire, hi.
Hello.
Thanks for calling.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to make a comment about helpful librarians. I have a cousin, Roseanne, who is writing the family history. We have it written in Norwegian, and now she's doing more in an English one. It's published in Norway. But the family did live in Eau Claire originally, and we had the birth date. And I went to the local high school, to Memorial, and the librarians looked up the yearbook and then asked if I want to come back the next day. She looked further to find additional pictures of my family members, and I came back and she copied them all for me. So I was, it worked really well.
A lot of librarians love to help people find these things, and a lot of librarians know where to look.
Yeah.
So it's really important to contact them.
Very good. Thank you, Mary. What a nice thing. Well, I've had great experiences with librarians, too. Claudia in Duluth, your turn. Hi, Claudia.
Hello. I have to tell you about my experience. I've been using Ancestry.com, and I came up on a dead end. And I had a lot of my grandmother's pictures, and, of course, nothing written on them. And so I started Googling her maiden name and the town she was from in Norway. And I got I went on images and the web pages. And on the images, I found pictures that matched mine. And when I clicked on them, they led me to Facebook pages of people in Norway that turned out to be my second cousin.
Oh, my gosh.
And I wrote to them, and I had a picture of one was a young man who's in his mid-30s, and he was going home to visit his grandmother. So I sent him a picture of the house that I had a picture of, and he sent me back an iPhone picture of the same house and told me my relatives lived next door. And he has since put me in contact with them, and we are now Facebook friends. But she had a lot of family information that I've been able to, you know, add to my information. And it was a very simple thing to do. And I've done it with other members of our family from other countries. And you sometimes get other people who have done family trees, and you can get information from that. And it's a simple thing to do, and you'd be surprised how much. My father had a brother that left home, and no one ever knew what happened to him in the early 1900s. And I put his name in, and a newspaper article came up about him in Mexico with pictures.
Wow.
And it just led me to many different places. So Google is an amazing tool.
We have so many tools.
They have, a name or a town, especially a small town. It's really wonderful. So I hope it can help some people.
Claudia, thank you so much. Wonderful, isn't it?
It is. I love this job.
Lori, what's your site again? What's the best?
WisconsinHistory.org. And if you look under the genealogy page, you'll go to our courses and see what we have to offer.
And there are some great courses coming up. So I hope you will go to the website and take a look. Lori Bessler, our guest reference librarian in the Library Archives Division of the Wisconsin Historical Society. She teaches some of those genealogy workshops to help you piece together your family history. So great to have her along. That was really informative and a useful conversation, wasn't it? So much to learn about our family's history. Coming up next, I'm going to talk about a less positive family element, and that's domestic abuse. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And statistically, each and every one of us knows a victim of a violent relationship. That's coming up next, so I hope you'll stay tuned here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.